When you argue with God, I mean you, not that I ever do, when you argue with God, how's that turn out for you? When you argue with God, how does that turn out for you? We've seen that Gideon does. Remember, hey, mighty warrior, and Gideon goes, yeah. Right? Placing all the blame back on God. We cried out for help. You sent us a dumb preacher. Now you send us your son. And why? If you're with this, then what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? He blames God for all of his misery. We love to give God credit when things go good, right? Woo! Gorgeous morning. Praise God, right? Because God has finally paid attention and he's given us the weather that was in the Garden of Eden. I love this weather, but I know he'll abandon us sooner or later. And there'll be snow, right? I love this weather. We love to give God credit when things are good. And we love to blame him when things go bad. By the way, I know not everybody in here is excited for the start of the NFL football season. My daughter turns to me and says, Dad, I need your help. Every dad lives for this. I'm thinking, oh, I got to put air in a tire. You know, just something that maybe I might be able to pull off. And she says the one thing to me that I could care less about, I'm in a fantasy football league. The Glamazon. She can talk to you then, Candy, because I played once and hated it. I don't want to play fantasy football. You've got to help me put my team together. And I am so tempted to give her the worst team imaginable because I just hate it. And then when she blames me, I'll go, no, blame God. Because professional athletes win. To God be the glory. What about when they lose? Do the losers in the press conference ever go, well, to God be the glory? Watch this video and see what it would be like.
Barracuda's point guard Ricky Jay is fielding questions following tonight's game against the Bloodhounds.
How do you feel about the outcome of tonight's game?
Oh, it was all God.
Come on, you don't think you had anything to do with it?
No, I can't take any credit for this one. This was truly God's doing.
But you lost.
Jesus is the reason for every season.
I'm sorry, are you blaming God for your team losing the game?
Hey, nothing against the guy. I mean, it's just, you know, you gotta take the good with the bad, right? He gets the credit for the wins, ergo, he's gotta get the credit for the losses.
But what about the 19 points you scored for the Bloodhounds?
I mean, we can sit here and make excuses all day. I accidentally scored the deciding 19 points for the other team. I accidentally gave Coach the wrong start time for the game. I spent the first half playing the floor's lava, but ultimately, it's up to God.
Why do you think they were able to score so easily?
We did everything we could. We can really only blame God.
You don't think it's because you quintuple-teamed one player, leaving everyone else open?
Again, I'm just a vessel. I'm like a puppet. God's running the show.
How did your 42 turnovers affect the outcome of the game?
Only God can know for sure.
Yeah, well, according to the stat sheet, it looks like the other team scored every time you turned the ball over.
And still, God, in his infinite wisdom, just decided that tonight was not our night.
Is there anything you could have done differently?
Fasted?
You're saying you might have won if you starved yourself before the game.
A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. But in the end, it doesn't matter. It's all God.
How do you regroup after such a terrible loss?
I mean, we'll keep practicing. You know, practice makes perfect. But really, all that is worthless. It's all up to God. Money!
Ouch!
That was God. Next question. You.
Linda Cartwheel from ChristianSports.com. God had nothing to do with the outcome of this game.
When you asked the other team why they won, what did they say?
God.
No more questions.
Oh, we love to blame God. We don't like to look in the mirror, but we love to blame God. Hey, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. Oh, really? Is he now? And blame, 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 blame. Thank goodness we never do that. Right? What do we do when God shows up, thinks we're amazing, and we begin to argue with him? What is his response? Come on, guys. We've been told all of our lives you can't question God. And God and Gideon are this far away from each other. Question, 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 question. What is Jesus' response to our blame? And then what's his response to our response? Open your Bibles. All right, first thing we're going to look at in the book of Judges. Judges in the first part of your Bible, Judges chapter 6, or tap that app. We're going to start in verse 14. The very first response that God is going to give us to our questions is about his strength. His strength. All right, so verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Die," and threw lightning bolts at him. Because that's what we kind of expect when we question God, right? The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Jesus' response to Gideon doing the blame game is to play the strength card. I'm giving you all the stuff you need. "No, God, you don't understand. I need this." "No, I've kind of given you all you need." "No, no, no, you don't understand. I need this." No, you don't. "Giving you everything you need." And he played that game. "Go in the strength you have." Jesus obviously forgot, as he's talking to Gideon, Gideon is still hiding in the wine press. The guy that is scared to death to show his face because of the bad guys and because of how he'd been beat up and his people had been beat up for years, the guy that is scared to death, "Hey, go in the strength you already have." Those two, our perception of reality and God's perspective, do not line up. We would not look at Gideon hiding in this wine press and go, "There's a mighty warrior. He's got strength." And yet, the Lord's response is, "I've given you all you need. Go in the strength you have." So let me ask you this question. Is that enough? When you're praying for God to help you out, is it enough for him to say, "I've given you everything you need. Go in the strength you have." Have not the strength I'm going to give you. Go in the strength you have. Because when I'm crying out for God for help, strength is the last thing I think I have. And yet he says, "You got all you need." Is it enough? Is it enough to know that he has given us the strength that we need? Does it really make a difference when you look at verse 14 to know that the Lord is with us, that the Lord is sending us or sending me, sending us individually? Is it enough to know that he has commissioned us to do that? Speaking of commission, what we call the Great Commission, right at the end of the book of Matthew, the very last thing that Jesus has to say, you know, "Therefore, go into all the world and baptize and teach to obey and make disciples and blah, blah, blah." What's the last words that he says? The very last thing that Jesus says in Matthew 28. "For I am with you till the very end of the age." Is it enough to know that he's with us? Is it enough? Because I gotta tell you, I think our answer would be no. And yet the reality of God is, it is enough. Why aren't we living like that? Would you look at verse 14 again? I don't know why this stuck out to me. Gideon blames God for everything. And the first part of verse 14 is, the Lord turned to him. And when I blame God for something, and if God turns and looks at me like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get it. The Lord turned to him. When we blame God for everything that has gone wrong and that he's not doing miracles now, it gets his attention. Oh, the Lord will turn to us. And then he'll look and go, I've given you everything you need. Is that enough? Not for Gideon. Look at verse 15. Because he's like, so how are you going to do that? Verse 15, pardon me, my Lord. He's so polite. He's a polite coward. Right? Pardon me, my Lord. By the way, did you notice Lord is not capitalized? He has no clue who he's talking to. None. Even though Jesus said, hey, the Lord is with you, and looking right at him. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But how? Hey, I want you to do something cool for me that I don't think anybody else can pull off. I've given you all the strength you need. How am I supposed to do that? But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. How can I? God literally just told him how. Go in the strength I gave you. That's how you're going to do it. How am I supposed to do that? Isn't it amazing? He's already told us how, but we question how all the time. My clan is the weakest, and maybe it is. You got family issues? He's got family issues. We got family issues, right? My clan, if you knew my family, right? It's like I said at my uncle's funeral, because my uncle was known for a certain swear word, and I said at the funeral, the Ray family did not invent swearing. We've perfected it, though, right? My family's dumb. We love to lead with our insecurities. Hey, mighty warrior. Oh, God, if you only knew my family. Like he doesn't. I'm the least in my family. Oh. We love to lead with our insecurities, even though he has told us that we are mighty warriors. God's perspective and our perspective. So totally different. We are too beaten down by reality. Our family issues of our clan is the weakest. If you only knew. Let me tell you something about family issues. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't have them. Every single person in this room has family issues. Yeah, but you don't know my family. Okay, fine. You've got family issues. We all have family issues. Except when you're a part of God's family, that far outweighs whatever family issues you have. And if you're part of God's family, you're part of my family now too, and I'm a part of your family. And together, the family we're going to create here or have created here is so much better than all that baggage that weighs you down. We'll deal with that. But guys, I'm telling you right now, you may have family issues, but with God as your father and me as your brother and vice versa, whatever enemy or insecurity you face, go in his strength that he's already given us. I read this in a book that I'm currently reading called The Toxic Heart. It's about pastors and how through years and decades in ministry, we can grow toxic. Our heart can grow toxic. Oh, it's a powerful book. The author said this, God doesn't care about your inability. He cares about your availability. doesn't care about your inability. He cares about your availability. Hey, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out. But God, you don't understand. I stutter. Moses, God doesn't care about our inability. He cares about our availability. Here's how I have put it. Quit worrying about success. Because around here, some idiot will walk up to you and go, hey, if I gave you the opportunity of a lifetime, would you tell me no? And the first thing you think of is your insecurity. Whatever he's about to ask me, oh no. Right? Even though I believe you can pull it off. Even though you don't know what it is, I'm not worried about that. Because you think success. I'm approaching it from, are you willing? Are you willing? Hey, Gideon, mighty warrior. I'm not sure I'm really willing to go that far. So how does God respond to our excuses? Well, he goes back to the whole strength thing. And he's going to strike. I love this. This is God on the move. Verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you. He could have put a period there. Hasn't he said that over and over and over again to Gideon so far? Maybe we need to start repeating it to ourselves. He has not abandoned us. He has not forgotten me. He is with me. May not feel like it because that's what we associate with God's presence. Oh, I can feel his presence. It's not always emotional. It's not always touchy. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites. I will be with you, and you can do it. When I read that verse preparing for this, I literally read it as, I will be with you and I will strike down the Midianites. Because that's kind of what he told Joshua going into the promised land, right? I'll go before you. I will wipe out all the bad guys. And so when I read this verse, that was in my mind. I am with you. I will wipe out the bad guys. And I'm like, you go, God. You go right ahead. Is that what the verse says? I will be with you and you. Little insecure, you. Little hiding in a wine press, you. Little sticking your butt in God's face, but God, you. You who blame God for all the problems, you are going to go and fight the fight and win the battle. And that's usually where we draw that little dotted line in between. We're cool with God being with us. I have to grab the sword. I have to go fight. I have to confront. I have to rally the troops. I have to, oh, God, if you only knew my family. Right? Because we bring all of our daddy issues with us and everything else, right? Dumb dads. Why does God always make it sound so easy? Why? I wish he would say, listen, now I know it's going to be tough, and I know you're going to have to get up 15 minutes earlier, and I know you're actually going to have to exercise. You know, why doesn't he say all those things? He makes it sound so easy. Oh, I'll be with you. You can do it. Why does he make it sound so easy? Because if we look at this closely, it's literally Jesus standing there face to face to Gideon going, you got this, but I got you. You got this, but I got you. Because when the sun shows up, in the midst of all of our chaos and blaming and excuses and everything else, when Jesus shows up, he goes, hey, you got this. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know you've got your excuses. I know you blame me. You've got this. And I've got you. What would happen if for an hour we lived as if we meant it? If we lived in the knowledge that Jesus is with us, that he has called us, that we begin to look at our jobs as an opportunity to bring him glory, that spending time with our family is an opportunity to bring him glory. All right, family, we're going to sit down and read the book of Leviticus tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. You're in the moment. Guys, I cannot tell you enough how I am challenging myself to be in the moment. Last night, what's her name and I had a unique opportunity. We were alone, but in a restaurant. So, someone picked up their phone and then put it down. So the other one said, oh, it's phone night. Picked up his phone. Well, picked up their phone. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Right? See how easy it is? To not be in the moment. We have wrapped ourselves around the fact that we have to be in the moment with those devices. I love those devices. But sometimes just being in the moment brings glory to God. Right now, I'm just a dad. Right now, I'm just a father. Right now, I'm just a son. Right now, I'm just in the moment. What if we lived like that for just an hour instead of, oh gosh, I know I should do this, but if I say this, then they're going to say that. I remember when I said that in 11th grade, right? And we do nothing except in our brains come up with all these scenarios of why we can't. I challenge you within the next 24 hours to take 1 hour and live as if God is with us. And live as if he has called us to do whatever it is we're doing in the moment. Just an hour in the next 24. Just an hour. Because when the sun shows up, he promises complete victory. Right? I'll be with you, and you will strike down the back. You got this. Whatever is oppressing you, you got this. I've given you the strength to do it. I'm here. You've got this. Strike. Strike. Let's live like it, because when the sun shows up, we have complete victory. And that's communion, right? We had all these excuses. We killed all the prophets. We wiped out everything. And then Jesus shows up, and he promises complete victory, and we kill him. But that's how we get complete victory, is through the death of God's Son. So let's pray for our communion time this morning. Father, we love you and we pray that you would make our victory obvious. We're surrounded by negativity. It is our human nature. We turn on the TV, we turn on the radio, and we're surrounded by negativity. We hop on YouTube, we text with friends. And we live in a world of hiding or avoiding or leading with our insecurities. And because of that, you sent your Son so that we can lead with him. So God, this morning as we get it ready for communion, I pray for anybody here that is just so tired of living a beat up life. I pray that they would feel and know the strength that you have given us through your Son's broken body. through his shed blood so that we can recognize that we were once lost, but now we're found.
Thank you. go forth this week with the strength you've already given us. May we, as Dave said, be ever so available, laying aside any of those things that we've convinced ourselves keep us from doing it. Just make us available, Lord. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And amen. And amen.